How you doing? Hey, welcome back here for another episode of Roll Digs, the official podcast of Montana Tech Athletics. I am Paul Panisco for Roll Digs, and as always, again, thanks for joining us. We have a lot of great stuff on the horizon as somehow, some way, like summer is gone. I mean, we're getting ready for volleyball season. We're getting ready for football season. We're getting ready. It's August, man. Like, that's the way things are going to go. It's going to get real busy, real fast. And that said, we're going to have a lot of information coming your way. In today's episode, we're going to check in with head coach Kyle Sampson. As Kyle Sampson of the Montana Tech football team getting ready for year six. The guys reporting and getting ready to roll. They'll get into fall camp. Obviously, there is a whole lot of question marks with the football team this year. But that said, there is a whole lot of upside and a whole lot of excitement building for this fall season as well with the Montana Tech football program. There's also, it's going to be a crazy year. I mean, the Frontier Conference footprint right now is... It's like the Big 12. I mean, that's huge. You know, you're thinking about we've got schools in North Dakota, South Dakota, Montana, Idaho, Oregon, California, Arizona. The Frontier Conference, as we know it, is going to change drastically this year. I'll talk to Coach Sampson about that here in just a bit. But I thought we would just kind of check in, talk how the summer went, get you ready for fall camp, and kind of talk about that Copper game that looms here in just a matter of weeks. Again, ladies and gentlemen, thanks for joining us for Roll Digs. Without further ado, head coach Kyle Sampson. Coach Kyle Sampson, how you doing?
I'm doing great. How you doing?
I'm good. Is anticipation the right word? Or are you just like on like cloud nine, ready to roll?
Yeah, we What is it? Thursday. We're getting rolling on Monday, and you know, this is the best time of the year is the falls and getting your team, and you know, this is why we do what we do, for the opportunity that we have. And yeah, there's always that anticipation, excitement, nervousness, all that goes into it, starting a new season. But we're excited. It's been a really good summer, a really good off season for our guys, and now it's kind of all coming to where it is right now, where it's what is it, August tomorrow? And it's kind of crazy. You know, it goes fast, as we all know. And yeah, July just seemed like it went by so fast, which it always does. But yeah, we're excited. We're going to take a little time, go up to the Flathead Valley this weekend. One of our old players, Logan Kolodaychuk, a former captain, is getting married up there.
Indeed. And one of my favorite names. And obviously we're related. I mean, with a name like that, we've got to be related.
You got to be, right? But so we'll go celebrate him on Saturday and his bride, and then come back and get ready to roll on Monday.
So walk me through the mindset, because I'd have to imagine for everything that you're excited for right now, you know, like I just strolled into your office, you were working your tail off, and I would imagine that, you know, if you made a list of all the things you were excited for, in the back of your mind, something steps up and go, oh, hell, I've got to remember to do this and this and this. Like, that balancing act has to be tough.
Yeah, I think that... you know, the things you're most excited about are getting out on the practice field and doing the things you love to do. And then, like you said, there's always something like, you know, paperwork and making sure everyone's got their stuff ready to go for the dorms and eligibility, all the things you deal with yeah. 120 kids on your team, and just making sure we get all through that. And then once we do and everybody shows up on Monday, then you can kind of just go. But yeah, there's some anticipation there and some little bit of, you know, anxiety as far as just making sure that we've got everything we need to get going. Cause there's so many things that you got to do just to get on that first day of practice.
Yeah.
You know, freshmen will move in Monday morning and, you know, it's which is exciting for them. You know, it's an exciting time for those new guys. It's also an anxious time for them too. First time away from home and, you know, coming into a new spot, maybe living with someone they've never lived with before, living in the dorms. And a lot of times it's a little more anxious and nervous for the parents when they drop them off. You know, sometimes the kids are like, oh, I can't excited to get away from mom and dad. But, yeah, it's a fun time. And then you got, you know, a short window here where we're trying to build our team with the new guys, with the freshmen. And we've got a couple transfers that we've added since last spring. And, you know, so I think that's the biggest challenge. In the funnest, most fun, not really a word, but
we'll go with funnest.
Funnest is a good.
Funnest
one.
Is good.
Yeah. I think that's one of the best parts about fall camp, though, is you get that 3 or 4 weeks to really build your team. You know, I think that, You know, at the end of the day, you're going to win games because of people and how close we are and how much we believe in each other. You know, X's and O's are important, but that's not what wins. And so for us to really be very intentional about making sure we do the best we can as coaches to build our team, and then, you know, putting a lot of onus on our players and our leaders to bring those young guys along and teach them about, you know, our culture. And, you know, that's there's a lot of work that needs to be done. But at the same time, it's going to go by so fast. We'll be sitting here and it'll be game week before we know it. And so I think at the same time, you know, it goes by so fast, but you gotta remind yourself every morning just to take a step back and enjoy it, because there's a lot of people that would love to be doing what we're doing, and you know, making sure we have a good perspective on what we're doing and enjoy it, because I think that we all do our jobs a little bit better when we're having fun and we're enjoying it.
And I think everybody in theory says that. You know, everybody's yeah. like, oh, I've got to enjoy the day.
Yeah.
With another year under your belt, do you feel like it's a little bit easier to do that?
I do. Yeah. I mean, someone just asked me the other day how many years you've been coaching. I'm like, geez, I think I'm going into my 19th year of coaching, which is kind of crazy.
That gets scary, isn't it? Yeah. When you start throwing around big numbers.
Yeah. But yeah, I think every year you learn from mistakes you make the year before, you learn from successes that you've had. And to me, it's like, I think a big thing for myself in the last year is just realizing, like, holy smokes, like, I've got a son that's going to be a sophomore in high school. And in 3 years, he's not going to be living with us anymore. And just to be like, gosh, everything goes so fast. And, you know, kids that graduated here last year that you felt like were with us for, they were for 4 or 5 years. It's like, man, you thought they'd be here forever. And now they're gone.
Yeah.
And just taking the minute to, you know, remind us why we do what we do. We love this game, and, you know, don't let the stress and anxiety of college football outweigh, the joy that you have every day. And so I agree. I would agree with you that I think that each year try to do a little bit better job of, you know, taking a breath and really trying to soak it all in and enjoy it. Because then the season goes by so fast, right? You work so hard 9 months out of the year to get to the 3 months that we get to play, 3 or 4 months, and then you get one game per week. You know, those are the biggest, the best part about it is game day, obviously, but there's so much work that goes in. And if all you ever worry about is that one day, or if you just worried about the one part of the year in the fall, you're not going to be very happy the rest of the year. So I think just making sure that we, you know, take a deep breath and – yes, we're excited. This is the best part of the year, but you know, it's going to go fast no matter what we do. So just making sure we enjoy it.
You know, was last year the last year of your, like, guys that you brought with you from Kalispell, if you will? Like, I mean, you've had a, you know, a stable of guys that you have coached for 8, 9, almost even 10 years at times. Was last year the last group of them?
It was.
Is that going to be hard?
That's going to be interesting. And me and my wife were just talking about that a couple weeks ago and kind of centered around, they used to always watch our dog, when we'd go out of town.
I see how this works.
And so you're like, well, okay, we've known these kids for 15 years. We think they could probably stay at our house and watch our dog. And,
yeah, maybe.
Yeah. So we got to get that new group of players that can, when we go out of town.
I mean, I take nothing away from every group of seniors is special. And I want to talk about the seniors, the huge class that you, you know, you graduated a year ago. But for you, there was that extra level where, you know, you're coaching at Flathead. You know, you have an incredible group of guys that a lot of them came with you to Montana Tech.
Yeah.
And boy, there were some insane bonds that were built, you know, through those years.
Yeah, and that's pretty special. Not a lot of people get to say they coached a kid in high school and then coached him in college, and now they're out. They're all working and starting their own, you know, careers and families, and which is really cool. And so you're gonna miss them because you're not gonna see them every day. But you know, we still stay in touch with those guys. I'm excited. We're gonna have a bunch of the former. The last year's seniors, and then the last really every senior class that I've been a part of here, we're trying to get as many as them back for our Copper game, and a lot of them are coming back for that. And I think that's one of the coolest things too, is that now, shoot, we're in year 6 as a staff, And, you know, you got a good amount of senior classes that have graduated here. And so trying to really, you know, continue to keep those guys involved and get them back here. And that's what really makes it fun is when they come back and they're supporting the kids that are doing the same thing they were doing.
Let's talk about your senior class from a year ago, because I love how coaches' minds work, you know, because there are things that you learn about them and things that they get excited for and the new challenges. And you'd think it would be kind of the same thing every year, especially with a guy like you, where you have a staff that has been with you now for years.
Yeah.
It's fun because, you know, your group of seniors last year felt like a group of guys that, you know, if the coaching staff just cut off and decided to go to Disneyland one Saturday, it felt like your seniors could step in and they were so ingrained in your program.
For sure.
And such the heartbeat of your program that, like, you wouldn't have missed a beat.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of those guys, it feels like for me, the leadership part, from the outside in, feels like one of the biggest things that is going to be hard to replace, but it probably not from your perspective.
Yeah. I mean, I would say 6 months ago, I felt that way.
Mm-hmm.
We've been really working hard, and our players done a great job in the last 6 months since January of getting to this point where, you know, I feel extremely confident with these guys. Now, it was a big question mark going into this offseason because of the numbers, because of the greatness of that senior class, the experience that they had. And so this group of leaders coming in doesn't quite have the experience that the last group had, because just naturally because of their age and the group that graduated before them. But to me, the thing I keep leaning on is they had such great people that were mentors to them. They saw it done the right way by that class. And at the same time, I don't want them to think they ought to be the seniors from last year. They got to put their own stamp on it.
Yep.
And I think they've done a really good job. Now the experience thing, we're not going to get experience with some of these kids until they play. Mm-hmm. And we can say that as much as we want, but we got to be okay with that as coaches to know that, hey, you know, you can still win a lot of goddamn games without having a bunch of guys that have started for 3 years. Mm-hmm. And that's what we're going to have to do this year. And we're excited about that. And I think it's a big challenge, but these kids they're going to do it. They're going to step up and do it.
And that's kind of where I was going, is that the idea of now this year is going to be kind of a different coaching challenge, you know, and it's something you'd have to look forward to. And I think of your room specifically. You know, we have leaned on Blake as an institution, it felt like, for years.
Yeah.
And Mr. Thielen was phenomenal. And I still, Haskett and I were talking about, I shit you not, Haskett and I were talking about his deep balls last night. Like, we were on the phone talking about that. But that challenge and, you know, the what we're going to see possibly on the field this year.
Yeah.
The quarterback room is one that I think is going to be an awful lot of fun.
For sure. And that's anytime you have a change in the guard, especially at the quarterback spot, we've been fortunate to have, you know, Blake for the last 3 years, so we haven't had a lot of change there.
Yeah.
And anytime that happens, I think that's, you know, obviously it's the most important position in all of sports, and that's a big question mark, but not in my mind. I feel extremely confident with that room, and same thing. What they lack in experience, they're going to go out there and just with their confidence and the talent they have, but their leadership ability that they have, I'm really excited about the quarterback room, and that's my position group, and something that I take a ton of pride in, and those four guys that are going to be in our room this fall, I'm excited for them. And there's going to be some mistakes. There's going to be some growing pains,
that's how you learn.
That's how you learn. And they wouldn't, like I tell them every day, you wouldn't be here if we didn't think you could do it. And they've had a great summer. Every single one of them been here throughout the summer, including our freshmen that's came in. And so they've got a lot of good work. And, the biggest thing right now is, you know, we've got a couple weeks of fall camp, and then we're going to name a starter, and then we're going to roll. And at the same time, we got to know that we've got a great backup too.
Yeah.
And whoever wins the job, I'm a big believer. You need three really good quarterbacks in this league if you're going to be successful.
How many times is that proven factual?
Oh.
I mean, it's insane.
Yeah.
The number of quarterbacks that, you honestly go through this conference because of injury or issues. And
yep.
Our conference is not an easy path.
No. And you need that depth and then you also need that competition to continue to push each other. And, I think that's what's going to be fun about this fall camp. It's going to be the first fall camp in a couple of years where we have a legit competition at that spot, and which makes it different. And I'm also a believer that we've got to get to we've got to name a starter sooner than later, because then it's got to be that person's team, and then we got to, you know, game plan around it. I mean, you know, I'm a big believer that offensively you got to build your offense around what your quarterback does best. And so, which is fun, because it presents a good challenge for myself and our offensive staff. But at the same time, it's like, you know, they're all the quarterbacks are a little bit different in what they can do and the skill sets they have. And, you know, I think that's a good thing.
You know, I like that point that you bring up, the idea that it has to be named, you know, as soon as you can, for that idea of reps, because, you know, you always talk about that. So when, if you can you break it down to like percentages, say, you know, your starting quarterback sees X amount of snaps during the week. Your perceived number two sees X. What is your kind of percentage there?
I would say in a perfect world, I'd say 70-30.
Okay.
You know, if your number one guy is getting 70% of the reps, the two's getting 30. We always try to get, so I guess that equals 100. We always try to get the third string a little bit of reps, but to be honest, you can't spend that much time getting him a bunch of reps, but he's got to get a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I'd say 70-30 is probably, I don't know if that's perfect, but, you know, you got to get your guy ready to go. It's a starter. But also the backups got to feel confident. But one thing we always tell the backups is, hey, when you get your opportunity, you got to be ready. And so whether that's a physical rep or a mental rep, is making sure you're always preparing like you're the starter every day as well. But yeah, that, you know, that's something that we can't be 2 weeks into fall camp. We can't be 50-50. We've got to roll, and we got to get our guy, whoever that may be, that's ready to go, and then give him the ability to get as many reps to get him ready to go for that first game.
To take it over.
Yeah.
To make the spot his.
Yep, for sure.
You know, you mentioned that all four of your quarterbacks have been here all summer. How many guys have you had all summer? Or at least the bulk of summer?
Yeah. Right in that 65 to 70 range. I think our biggest morning was 73. But yeah, it's been a really good summer. The most guys we've ever had for a summer since I've been here. Which we've been able to get a lot of work in, and they're training really hard. You know, down in the weight room 4 days a week, on the field, whether that be, you know, agility, sprints, conditioning type stuff, and then from football stuff. And that's one thing that we do has been a really cool thing for us this summer, is our players have been running a lot of the practice in the morning. You know, and that kind of goes back to that leadership thing we were talking about, giving them the opportunity to do it, not just, you know, as a coach. You know, it'd be really easy to say, well, we've lost all these great leaders. We've got to be way more hands-on than we've ever been as a coaching staff. But you also got to let them grow and let them fail. Because that's how you learn. So I think our guys done a really good job of that. You know, and it's been a lot of fun.
Is this kind of the time where your leaders kind of separate themselves anyway? When you talk about summer, the idea of getting them out, getting them going, putting them in the right place, and is this normally when they kind of blossom?
Definitely. You know, we had 10 leaders that were elected last spring, two captains out of that group. We'll elect two more captains in fall camp, and then we're also going to add two more leaders to get us to 12. I think they've done a really good job this summer. And, to me, you always see leadership separates itself, you know, when it's not always required. And what I mean by that is, you know, we can't make some workouts mandatory. You know, we want them to be there because they want to get better.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a little different than the season when we don't have games and we're not in school. So to me, you really see who's going to step up when, you know, no one's watching. And I think that our guys have done a really good job of that. I'm really excited to see them grow throughout fall camp and continue to improve our leadership throughout the season. I mean, yes, right now our main focus is our first game, and that's all we're preparing for. But we know that we got to continue to get better every single week, not only football-wise, but from a leadership standpoint as well.
You know, there is always, and I think we've hit a lot of it anyway, but there's always that talk of guys in summer. You know, the amount of guys you have in summer, how important it is. Is there anything else that, just to try and kind of open the eyes for people, you know, I mean, you guys are here 4 days a week in the mornings.
Yep.
Kind of walk us through anything additionally, how important summers are and the idea of having full groups or as many guys as you can, if you don't mind.
Yeah, I think the number one thing is you just continue to build and bond your team. I mean, the more those guys are around each other, the more they're hanging out together, the more they're working out together. You know, really right now we had 8 guys that were veterans on our team that weren't here. And so the amount of improvement that we've been able to make since spring ball with those guys here this summer has been awesome. And so that's a huge thing, just that building that camaraderie and that culture that we try to build every day. And then we've had some freshmen that have joined us, some people that are, you know, local kids that are close to here in Butte, and a couple mm-hmm. guys from, you know, close down the road that are able to make it. So I think that's the first thing. The other thing is you just be able to do so much more football stuff, where if you only got, you know, for example, if you got 1 quarterback and 2 receivers, you ain't getting a ton of work in the mornings, right? If you got if you got 4 quarterbacks and you got 10 receivers out there, you can get some good work in. And we've been able to, you know, do all the different things positionally to improve, you know, and then working on, you know, some stuff as far as, you know, just getting ready for the fall camp and installs and, you know, just trying to raise our football IQ. So I think anytime you have more kids, you can do more things football wise. And at the same time, it's a great opportunity for them. You know, I'm always a big believer in this is you're going to improve as an individual when you're surrounded by people that are doing the same thing you are and are working for the same goals. And the excitement, the energy we've had in the weight room this summer has been tremendous. That's a big part of what we're about is what we do in the weight room and how we train and the excitement energy that we try to build down there at 5 in the morning. And it's the same thing. It's not required. And you know, when you can get 70 kids there in the morning at 5 in the morning that are really excited to be there, I think you got something special. This group has been really good. And it's been a really good summer. And now we just got to translate that into playing really good football.
What were the keys that you were looking for as far as recruiting? Like coming into this season, what were the important pieces you were looking for with the recruiting class? Or was it – kind of give us your take on that.
Yeah. I think the first thing that, you know, we're always looking for is people that fit what we're doing.
Yeah.
And what I mean by that is obviously you can look at the film and see what type of football player they are and the talent that they bring, but you know, what type of leaders they are, what type of people they are, you know, would they be good fits for our team? And I think every year our staff has done a better job of that.
Does it get a little easier each year when you start to realize?
I think, yes. I don't know if easier is the word, but I think you learn from mistakes.
Okay.
Sometimes you make a mistake in recruiting where you took a kid that maybe you shouldn't have taken because he might be a really good talent, but he doesn't fit your culture. He doesn't fit what you're about. And at the end of the day, I would say the biggest thing we're looking for is great teammates, guys that want to be about the team and about Montana Tech, not about themselves. I don't want anybody walking here entitled, thinking that they're better than anybody else. Because you win with great teams. We got to have talent, and we've got talent. But teams are going to beat individual talent every day of the week. And we might maybe not have the absolute most talented team in the country, but we feel like we can win every game that's on our schedule if we're the closest team. We play for each other. We got each other's backs. You know, and I think that's something that you don't know that 100% until they get on campus.
Yeah.
You try to do the best you can with your communication with coaches, teachers, family members.
And I would assume the locker room plays a big factor in that, especially with, you know, I mean, we're driven by Montana kids.
Yep.
And I would have to imagine that you can stroll in and talk to your guys from Missoula, talk to your guys from Helena or Billings and go, tell me about this kid.
Yeah, 100%. And I think that's a big recruiting thing for us is, you know, those high school kids. It works both ways. They're like, man, I've talked to this kid that's at Montana Tech. I want to be there. I want to be a part of that. And then, you know, we ask our guys, hey, this kid fit us. And if they say yes, then we're going to put our trust in our own kids. But yeah, I mean, obviously trying to get the best kids that we can. And I think we've had a really good year recruiting and, you know, high school wise. And then we've brought in a couple very talented transfers that I think can help us. And most of those guys have been here this summer. And I think they fit in really well with our guys. And I think that's a big thing for a transfer is to be here in the summer, to have a couple months to get settled in, kind of get their footing as far as what we're about. And then they don't have to do that during fall camp.
We had a couple of them help at our golf event, and they were phenomenal.
Yeah.
I mean, to say that they had a good time was an understatement, and everybody loved them. I was so impressed.
Yeah.
And that kind of thing, just a little thing like that is huge.
Definitely. And I think, like you said, it goes back to, you know, we feel like these guys bring some very good talent. But I think they're really good people. To me, that's going to go farther.
Yeah.
So we're excited. We're excited about some new guys to help us out. And then we're excited about this freshman class coming in. There's going to be some very good football players that are going to be walking onto campus on Monday. And whether they help us this year as true freshmen or not, but I think there's going to be a couple that probably do.
And that was going to be my next question is, you know, it's always that kind of, you're the best at your spot. You're it.
Yeah.
I would imagine with some of the names that there is a possibility, but you just never know.
Yeah, and we try not to make that decision until after, you know, we get out of fall camp. But, I think there's going to be a couple guys that are going to help us this year. And I'm not saying necessarily as a starter, but as a rotational guy, special teams guy. And to me, we want to put the best guys on the field and then also create that competition that's going to make us better. And every year you're trying to recruit kids that can help you win. And I think that we've got some very good freshmen coming in that can help us.
The world of college football, we've set a new record. We've talked 25 minutes and we haven't mentioned NIL or the portal. Cause that's all that, you know, dominates college football anymore.
Yeah.
In your office, in your daily life at Montana Tech, how is that trickle down or how has that affected your process, especially when it comes to out-of-state guys?
Yeah, I think that I wouldn't say NIL very much or very little at all because of the NAI. And to me, I always say this, NIL doesn't matter at NAI if you're not on a full scholarship where everything's paid for.
Yeah.
Because NIL is money in your pocket. I don't think NIL means that you're giving someone $1,000 so he can go pay for his books.
Reality,
right? It's just different. Even though people ask me all the time about it, and I'm like, well, it's not, it's different because we don't have true full rides here unless you're a 32 ACT kid and a football scholarship kid. So I don't think that does. I think the question comes up and kids ask the question all the time, like, you know, what can I get above and beyond my scholarship? And that's a legit question because that's all they hear about and that's all they see. I do think that's something that, and I don't have the right answer for that, but I think it's something the next 4 or 5 years is going to be a thing that us at Tech are going to have to figure out.
And I would assume most guys that you talk to about it now are that, it goes to that character side of things. You're like, look, this is what we're able to offer you. Yeah. And, you know, if that would almost come in being able to help you further with a scholarship or somewhere along those lines, it would seem like that would be a conversation that is brought up and ended pretty quickly.
Yes.
And understood quickly.
It is. And I think it's just the where we're at in our level of the NAI right now. Yeah. And then the transfer portal stuff is,
That has to be the hardest waters for you to deal with.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing is just because, I mean, every year in the last 4 years, we've added some really good transfers to our team, but we've also lost some really good players because other schools have plucked them out of Montana Tech, bigger schools, because they're getting their players plucked from the highest level.
Yeah.
And so naturally you're going to go to the next one, and we've had some damn good players here that have been asked to play at a bigger level and, can't get mad at the kid for that.
No.
But we also don't want to live in a, and it's going to change and it's always going to be different and we have to adapt, but we want kids that want to be here for 4 or 5 years, that want to get a degree here, and they want to be a part of the team.
Yeah. And that feels like where that the idea of culture and who we are and who the campus is, and not only the football family, but the Montana Tech and Butte family,
yep.
you hope that that magnet is enough to keep them settled right where they are.
For sure. And I think that you can never guarantee that. And you never want to, you know.
No, I mean, you can't. I mean, you're one of the few people that can understand that from a playing perspective.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, there aren't many that can truly understand what that appeal is.
Sure.
And the reality of it, as opposed to life, you know, as we know it.
Yeah.
You know, it's a pretty small group of people.
It is. And I think that at the end of the day, you know, each individual, whether you're a player or a coach, you got to do what's best for you and your family and what you think is best. And sometimes someone else might not think that's the best thing, but that's life, right?
Yeah.
You got to do what's best for you. And so our job as coaches is just to, you know, support that. And then, you know, all we can really control and take care of is the people that are here, and doing the best we can to give them the opportunity to be successful here at Montana Tech. I think that, you know, we've been pretty dang successful as far as retention and keeping the guys here at Montana Tech and doing a good job of making sure they want to come back every year. I think that's a big thing with the freshman class is, do they want to be here? You know, because freshman year is your hardest year.
Far and away.
You're not playing that much. It's a whole different school.
Yep.
You know, just the whole year, but just being away from family and learning how to go to college and all that stuff, it's a tough year.
And freshman year at Tech is a little bit different than most.
Yeah, it's not easy academically.
Yeah.
But if you stick it out, the rewards are tremendous, and I think that's something we just got to continue to remind our guys. And I think our staff does a good job. I think our older guys do a really good job. I think that's one of the best resources is our young guys talking to our older guys, and because they went through it too. And then
100%.
But making sure we have those open lines of communication.
And that feels like one thing that is almost hard to put into words or hard to realize how much of an asset it is. But that the handing of the torch here feels. I don't know, and I have no reference outside, but it feels bigger than most. It feels like that family of, you know, there's no difference between a fifth-year senior and an incoming freshman to your group of 120 guys. You know, you are, if you're in the locker room, you belong in the locker room. You know, we don't care. You're going to be part of this, and you're going to learn. We're going to help make sure that you learn and learn who we are, and we're going to move on.
Yeah, I think that I appreciate you saying that, because that's something that we've worked tremendously hard in the last 5 years to get to that point. And I think that, you know, as a coaching staff, that was a big goal of ours. And every year you got to continue to redo it and restart it. But I think that's how you build a culture, is because it reciprocates itself. If those freshmen were treated really well by the older kids when they were freshmen, and now they're seniors and that's all they know, then that's a pretty easy way to build it. And,
yeah.
You know, a huge part of that is just the players and them taking care of each other. But yeah, I think that's a big deal. And, I just think it comes down to a lot of pride. But I also think it's just it's a special place because of the connection that we have and our players have to our alumni. And it's a big family that, takes a lot of pride in playing here and being here at Montana Tech. And to me, that's what's been really fun for me as a coach is in the last 5 or 6 years, getting to know the guys that have played 30, 40 years before I was here, and connecting those groups of people, and getting our players to meet them and learn about the guys that have done it before them. That's pretty special when you're not just playing for your own team of 2024, 2025, you're playing for every single guy that's put on the pads before you, and that's pretty powerful.
You learn pretty quickly what this team means every year to a lot of people.
Yeah,
when you're around guys like, you know, Josh Vincent, Matt Vincent,
yep.
Guys like Jayla Prowse, if he ever decides to show up, Wacy Deegan, and that whole group, you realize the people you have behind you, backing you have is pretty incredible.
It's second to none in my opinion at this level, and It's pretty awesome to represent those people, mm-hmm. and the people that have done it before, the people that have laid the foundation of this school and this program and the history and the tradition. You know, and it's also a great motivating factor. Like, hey, we want to make sure that every Saturday afternoon we're putting on a damn good show for those guys. You know, at the end of the day, it's, you know, the people that win the game are the people that are in our locker room. But it's so much bigger than that. And that's, that also makes it, you know, pretty damn fun.
How does it feel to be a coach in, I would have to think like the second biggest conference in all of football right now, for goodness sake. We went from, you know, being a Montana conference, to, our footprint now is bonkers. When you go from the Dakotas to Montana, you know, through Idaho to, Oregon, California, Arizona, our football footprint, is a little bit large, let's say.
Yeah. 14 teams is a lot different than, what it was like when I was growing up and even playing and coaching in this conference in my early years. But, I think it's awesome. I think it's a lot of, I think it's cool for our players to play different teams. And, you know, I think that, it's going to be a different, especially this first year. You know, our players, our coaches, we're going to coach and play against teams we've never played before. And I think that's kind of, that's kind of fun too.
Yeah.
You know, and we'll have 11 games this year and, you know, we're going to be playing some teams that, we don't know a whole lot about. You know, I think it's a good experience. And to me, you know, I love that we'll get two automatic bids coming out of this conference. And I hope that really gets us to 3 and 4 teams in the playoffs because, I think our conference deserves that. I don't know if deserves the word. I think we've earned that.
I think that's a great word to use.
The amount of people that are competing in the top 25 in the country every year and then playing each other and beating each other up.
Yeah, I mean, when we get to the end of the year, and granted, we're partial beyond belief. You 100%. Know, I love the frontier. You love the frontier. But we also know the level of teams that are being put out there, and you look at those teams, and man, it always feels like we leave at least one on the doorstep, if not more. That you're like, they go on the road and win a game. Yep. Like, we know this to be true.
Yep.
Yeah, I don't know. That feels like an argument or something we could get on a soapbox and go about it another time. But,
sure.
we won't go there here. How about, is it surprising to you? Because I find it incredibly surprising to me. And in our, you know, what are we at? 123 years of football at Montana Tech. The fact that Dickinson is the only school out of, you know, the old North Star that we have ever played.
Yeah.
You know, we've played basically all the other schools that went D2.
Yep.
Whether it's South Dakota Mines, you know, Jamestown, we have played
Minot, Mary, all
exactly.
Those
we've
right,
played all of them.
Yeah.
But we have never played Marysville. We've never played. It's so surprising to me that we're going to have so many games this year against teams that are now conference opponents.
Yeah.
That we've just never played.
Yeah, it's very interesting and. Yeah, I can say that I've never coached or played against any of those teams either.
You know, we've played Dickinson 17 times.
Yeah.
And they obviously were in conference for 2 years.
Sure.
But yeah, I don't know why I find that so surprising, and I'm excited for it. You know, the idea of seeing some new opponents, seeing some new territory.
Yeah.
You know, I was lucky enough to go on the road with the women's basketball team when they went over to Dakota State for the playoff game. You know, they're obviously, we're going to see them this year.
Yep.
Do you like, from a coaching perspective, I know that especially football coaches are creatures of habit.
100%.
You have to be excited, but it also has to throw you for a loop going, you know, when we go to Eastern, I know where we eat. I know what time we eat. I know what time we're on the field. All those new parts of the equation have to drive you a little bit crazy.
For sure. That's a different thing. And on the other flip side of that, like I was just talking to Coach Camp from Eastern Oregon 2 days ago, this will be the first time in my coaching career in the Frontier Conference and as a player that we won't have Eastern Oregon on our schedule, which is kind of crazy. Like, I've been a part of the Frontier Conference for a long time and I feel like every year I see Coach Camp at least once or sometimes twice. And we won't see each other.
Are you going to just Zoom and just stare into each other's eyes? Like maybe the bye week? Hang out and just talk crap at each other across the field?
Yeah, no, he's one of my great friends in coaching. It's different on that end too, where, you know, you're not going to play Eastern Oregon.
Yeah.
You know, the two new teams on the last couple of years, you know, Arizona Christian and Simpson, you know, we we've played them once or twice, and now we won't play them again for a couple of years, if ever, you know. And so that's interesting when you got 14 teams, and then, like you said, you're going to play some teams you've never played, and then you're going to some teams you've always played. You're not going to see them anymore. So that kind of makes it fun, though. I mean,
yeah.
I love the fact that we're not going to play a bunch of teams twice anymore, and we still have Rocky this year twice, which is kind of an anomaly of the schedule just because of one's a non-conference and stuff. But
I'll tell you, like, the general public, I hope they understand the work that has gone into to make these schedules go. The work that Matt Stepin has done, because he is the football chair. Is that the right terminology?
Yep.
He's football chair?
Okay. Yep.
He's the football chair, and the amount of time that he has put into trying to get a schedule. And again, Matt is one of those guys that obviously he is our athletic director, and we are so much better because of him. But he wants it to be right. And I'm not saying right by tech. He wants it to be right by everybody involved.
Sure.
And the hours he has put in is crazy. And that's just football. The same goes for volleyball and basketball and golf and everything else.
Yep.
But I guess we probably as good a time as any to talk about what we're looking at for the first 2 years. And we have an East and a West in the Frontier Conference. And from a map perspective, it's pretty easy to decide who's in the East, who's in the West.
Sure.
But much like when, I believe it was when Dickinson was with us, we have that little moving cog in the center. And that moving cog consists of us at Montana Tech.
Yep.
Montana Western, the Bulldogs, and that team up the road to Carroll College.
Yep.
And those three teams will shift. You'll see Southern, Eastern, College of Idaho, Arizona Christian are always going to be in the West.
Yep.
You've got Northern, Rocky, the Dakota schools are always going to be in the East.
Yep.
But we will change. And for this first 2 years, Montana Tech is in the East. Carroll College and Western are in the West.
Yep.
We'll do home and away for 2 years. And then I believe the thought is that cog will turn. Montana Tech will go to the West. One of the two, whether it's Carroll or Western, sure. I honestly don't have it in front of me. But one of those will go to the East. The other will remain in the West. And we'll do home and away again.
Yeah, that's definitely interesting. Like you said, some teams will always be in the East and the West. We got five non-conference games to start the season. And four of those teams will be top 25 ranked teams.
I was just going to say, you couldn't have handpicked a harder preseason, if you will.
I mean, some people... Well, you guys got the easy schedule because you're in the East. I'm like, well,
yeah,
look at our first five games.
Just start with Western, Southern, College of Idaho.
We're going to play the top four teams in the conference out of the first five games, and Rocky's going to be better than they were last year, too. I know that.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
And people can say what they want. But
And, of course, they will.
And I love it. I love that we're going to be challenged right off the gate. I mean, two huge rivalry games right out the gate with Western and Carroll. But I think – for us, and we've done it the last couple of years with our non-conferences, trying to make sure we've got a really tough game right off the gate, because I think it just gets you ready and it prepares you for the Frontier Conference season. And, to me, I'd rather challenge yourself right off the gate and get yourself ready and see where you're at as a team than go schedule someone that maybe is an easy win or something like that, that's not as good. But, we've got the defending champs right off the bat, so what a great test for us and a challenge, and we're excited for that. And it should be a lot of fun.
The level of energy from a facility side, from a Butte side. I mean, the amount of people that are already asking me about Copper Game around town is awesome. As a coach and a player, is it the same energy for Copper Game on a Thursday? Is it easier because it is the first game of the year?
I think you're always excited about that first game. I think it's. The excitement rises when it's home. It's a night game, and you're playing your rival, or one of your rivals, I should say.
Yeah.
We've been telling our kids the last 6 months, I think it's going to be the biggest, as far as attendance, that we've ever played in front of here at Montana Tech since I've been here.
I'd be hard-pressed to believe it's not, period.
I think it's going to be
insane,
incredible, which is awesome. That's why you came to Tech, though. You didn't come to Tech to play in front of 2,000 people. And so what we've got to do a good job of is using that energy and loving that and being a part of it, but then, hey, blocking everything out and saying, hey, it's just it's a game, and we can't let our emotions get the best of us because it's going to be so crazy of an atmosphere.
That has to be a hard line to walk.
It is. I really believe that. I think it's as a coach and a player. But I think that, you know, when the first kickoff goes, you got to settle in. And you want to use the emotion of the crowd, but you don't want to, you know, lose yourself into it where it becomes bigger than it needs to be, because you still got to play the game. But I agree, you can say that, oh, let's not worry about there's 10,000 people in the stands. But let's be honest, it's different. Right. You don't get crowds like that any other place in the Frontier Conference than Montana Tech, which is special. That's something we take a lot of pride in here.
And from what we've seen number wise, that's the nation. It's not just the Frontier Conference. I mean, it is in the nation.
So it's something special that we take pride in. But then, you know, same thing like last year, we were undefeated in the regular season at home. That's our goal again this year. When people come to Butte, when they come to Bob Green Field and Butte America, you know, we got to defend our backyard, and that's a big pride thing for us. And like I said, what a great challenge right off the bat.
Yeah.
And we'll find out, and it's going to be fun, but that's why you work so hard. And same thing, right? You don't come to Tech to play in games that don't mean nothing. Yeah. You come here to play in big time games, and you know, you coach here for that same reason. So some people are like, oh, you know, does it kind of suck that you got a really tough game right off the bat? And we're like, we love that. Yeah. And if we didn't, then we shouldn't be here. You know, if you're a competitor, you want to compete against the best teams every week. That's what gets you going. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be a ton of fun. It's going to be a hell of a challenge for us. But we'll be ready to go.
You know, I love the history part of all this, and you know that. I mean, I adore that side, and I just can't imagine a better opponent. And obviously we have other teams that we love to play. We love to get wins on, but I can't imagine a better opponent for Copper Game than Western this year. The idea that the first time that Tech and Western, then it was the Montana School of Mines and Montana Normal played, was, I believe it was October 3rd, 1925. So we've got 100 years of Tech Western.
That's crazy.
On Copper Game. So I can't imagine a better opponent out of the gate.
Yeah, it should be a ton of fun. And yeah, I mean, it's the top two teams in the conference the last 2 years going at it. And they're the defending champs. So they've got what we want.
That's it.
And but you can't do nothing unless you beat them. So that's a big goal of ours. And we know they're going to be ready to go. And, you know, I think that our guys in Copper will be ready to go that night too. And it should be a great battle. And great atmosphere for the fans, and I know that you know, we're gonna have a ton of Butte people, you know, that'll have our backs that night, and it's gonna be a lot of fun.
It's gonna feel, if for some reason, if somebody listening has never been to Copper Game or hasn't been to a home game of ours, you just have to make it happen. I mean, Copper Game is nuts, and this year is just gonna be next level. I mean, the amount of people that are gonna be here, you know, obviously Western travels really well.
Yep.
We're going to have ourselves a lot of fun, and we'll talk about that again before we get there.
Definitely.
And I certainly look forward to that, but I feel like I should cut you free. Is there anything else we missed? Anything else we should cover?
No, just excited to get all the fans out there for that game. And then for the rest of the season. And, I think that's one of the coolest things for our players is just the excitement that builds, knowing that they get to represent not only the alumni, but all the fans, the people of Butte, the families that travel from short distance to long distance to come support them. It's pretty cool. And we're so excited to get going on Monday. We've got some really good work ahead of us. But our guys are going to be ready. And I'm just, I'm fortunate every single day to work with a great staff, great group of people, and makes my job a ton of fun to work with, not only within my football staff, but the athletic staff here at Tech and our school. We got great people here, and you know, it's sometimes you always gotta take a step back and remind yourself, man, on days that maybe you're struggling a little bit or something ain't going great, man, there's not a lot of places I'd rather be. And it makes a lot of fun. It doesn't matter where you're at, it's who you're with. I always say that to everybody. It's, it's who you're with. And we got great people here at Tech, and we're sure excited for this fall. And just can't thank all the people out there enough for all the support that they give us. And you know, it's a pretty fun thing to be a part of, and it's a proud program to represent here at Montana Tech and be a part of this football program with all the tradition that have been set way before me. And we just want to carry that on and represent all the Diggers that came before us.
Well, and I'll we'll pester the Emitad group before kickoff too. We'll get them on here.
Heck yeah.
You want to talk about a dedicated group? That one I'm going to go ahead and tell you already. Make sure the youngins are out of the room before you turn that podcast on. I assume it'll have an explicit tag on it, but I'm going to go ahead and give you the pre-warning on that one because it doesn't matter if it's Wacy or Vinny or who it is. We'll talk to that Emitad group, and that's just a sliver of you know, the support that the football has here on this campus.
Definitely.
Coach Kyle Sampson, as always, thank you, my man. And like I said, we'll check in again right before Copper game. It'll be much more brief, but we'll check in. We'll get built up for it. We'll talk starters. We'll kind of get into nuts and bolts a little bit more here, but we'll give you a couple weeks to gather your thoughts before we get there.
Awesome. Appreciate you, buddy. Have a great day.
Thank you, Coach. Coach Kyle Sampson and Montana Tech's football team. And again, I want to remind you, we will talk to him in just a couple of weeks as we'll have a little bit shorter episode, a little condensed, if you will. But we'll check in with him right before we get ready for the Copper game on August 28th as the Bulldogs of Montana Western will be in town. The first game of the year. It's a Thursday. It's Copper game. That one will kick off at 6 o'clock. We'll talk about, the next time we talk, we're going to get into a little bit deeper as far as, you know, who's winning some of these starting jobs, some of the names we're going to be talking about, and of course, a lot of the returners as well. So again, my thanks to head coach Kyle Sampson for getting us ready here for fall drills. And that said, we have a lot more coming up on the horizon. Still actually a little football news on the horizon. We're going to talk to the Emitad guys. Emitad, of course, the football fundraising arm. We have a couple of their leaders we'll talk to later on. I've talked to Wacy Deegan a little bit. Reach out to Josh Vincent as well, and we'll talk to them about Emitad and the good that Emitad has been able to do for the Montana Tech football team in year one. So we'll hear from the Emitad boys before we get the football season officially underway. So, ladies and gentlemen, again, thanks for joining us. Roll Digs, the official podcast of Montana Tech Athletics. I'm Paul Panisco. Remember to like, share, subscribe, and leave a note. You know, if you have anything you want to say, feel free and leave a note, as all of it helps. Ladies and gentlemen, until next time, take care.